not for you. Babe, I couldn't find the door, couldn't even see the floor. I'd be sad and blue, but not for you.
Welcome back. Brought to you by Billy Bob Productions. Normally every Monday at 4:40, award-winning writer and broadcaster Michael Farber is standing by. I do want to take a very quick opportunity to thank those of you who packed Club Soda on Saturday night, including Mitch Gallo, who saw incredible performances from over 40 local musicians singing from the Bob Dylan songbook. It was a very, very special night. Everybody who helped put it together and turned it into the kind of success that it was greatly appreciated, especially by all of the passionate artists who were on stage. Dave Smith and the gang at Avirama Electronic, Maury Baker at Burger Bar Crescent, Morella's Magic Palace, and so many others that we'll get to before 7 o'clock. But it was very much appreciated, and I know you had a great time.
I had a great time, Mitch, and I don't really want to single anybody out because all the performers were so great on Saturday, but I am going to single somebody out. Anakin Slade, I was so impressed with his cover of Hurricane. I love that song, but, you know, if you could pick a more, like, he was the perfect artist to do that song at that time. So that was, I think, my favorite of any of the acts on Saturday.
We're going to start posting full photo albums and the film during the Christmas holidays, courtesy of James Correa. But again, thank you very much. And here he is right now. He has a lot to say on what went down over the weekend. Michael Farber, how you doing?
I'm great. What went down over the weekend? Anything happening here?
Yeah, well, there's this newfangled two-headed monster that's about to form down at the Bell Center.
Ooh, very scary. Good luck, Mr. Gorton. I thought Jeff Molson did a nice job walking that tight rope, threading that needle with the announcement of Jeff Gorton coming here. I don't know Jeff Gorton. I know him by reputation, and it's a good one. I think the two-headed monster, as you called it, has possibilities of blowing up. I also think it has possibilities of working, and we won't know that for a couple of years, probably. The problem here, of course, is Gorton will, if not be hiring the general manager, he'll be recommending whoever it is. Jeff Molson will be doing that hiring. Who will he hire? Will he hire somebody he finds malleable? Will he hire somebody that he finds he can work with? We don't know that. What we do know is he has a reputation for working without an ego, as being cooperative, collaborative, and that's probably a good thing. It's an unusual management setup. We're working in an alpha business. We're working in very clear organigrams, I guess is the word, where things are delineated in a certain way. This challenges that. It's very 2021, this cooperative style. It's unusual, and it might be how more things get done in the future. It's certainly something worth trying because the available general managers, as I see it, who speak both French and English, are without a great deal of experience. You went through that with Marc Bergevin, who had 1 year as an assistant general manager, although several years as a scout in the Blackhawks organization. So now you're in a situation where if you do hire someone with scant experience, it won't be necessarily a learn-on-the-job thing. And if you are learning, you've got an established general manager who can help you along.
Forgive the baseball analogy, but it's from a time and a place that you remember well, when Murray Cook took over as the general manager of the Expos. He and John McHale went to Earl Weaver. Earl Weaver was the best available manager who wasn't working, and they tried to convince him to become the new manager of the Expos. He declined, and they hired Buck Rogers. I think what Jeff Molson did, and the time period here is extremely important because of the draft coming up, the position where the Canadians are as an organization. It's quite clear, as patient as he might have been through November, that a lot of changes have to be made between now and the trade deadline and now and the draft. And so who is available? Who is the best person who has to fill this role who is available right now? And that was Jeff Gordon, regardless of the fact that he's an American.
No. Well, you know, I don't think that disqualifies Jeff Gordon. It didn't disqualify me in 1979. Excuse me, Mitch, when I came and wrote for the Gazette, and things worked out, well, maybe not for readers, but it worked out for me.
Oh, it worked out just fine to read a couple of national newspaper award pieces. Yeah,
yeah, but anyway, here's a guy with a resume. He's also overseen a rebuild, as it were, and if that's what needs to be done. Certainly, if you didn't have confidence in your current GM, you have to find somebody else. If you didn't want Mark Bergevin making trades, offloading some key players or important players on the team, you need somebody else to do it. And now you need a new evaluation of this organization. Here's somebody who's worked in the Eastern Conference. He's worked in big markets as well. And one of the reasons I don't know Jeff Gordon is he was never really an out-front guy. He was never demanding of media attention. He worked with some pretty good people in Boston, and he worked with some pretty good people with the Rangers. And I spoke to one of them yesterday, John Davidson, who, along with Gordon, was purged by James Dolan, the owner, and a move that shocked everyone because it seemed that in their rebuild, the Rangers were moving along in the right direction. And this is what Davidson told me. He said that he had an office next to Gordon, who had an office next to Chris Drury, who is now the GM of the Rangers, and they would talk among themselves constantly. And there wasn't, in the case of an ego, there weren't battles. They figured out ways to the problem. Now, not every solution was the good one. You can pick apart a general manager. It's like listening to Dan Robertson do a game on the radio. If you listen to a hockey game on the radio, game of mistakes, right? Well, being a GM, that's a game of mistakes. And the fewer mistakes you make, and they all make mistakes, the better your team will be. So it's not, I don't think we have to pick apart Gordon's resume and say, okay, well, he got Panarin. Well, did New York, getting out of Columbus, was that the reason he got Panarin? How much is that on Gordon? Well, he got Zibanejad in the trade. Yeah, that was a good one for Broussard, and they're ones that you're not going to like. But he seems to have made fewer mistakes than a lot of GMs, and they're going to go find somebody, presumably, that he can work with and work well with.
With Michael Farber, normally every Monday at 4:40 on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. So Gallo has got this question of the day, because as we wait now to find out who becomes the general manager, who will work under Jeff Gordon.
No. Work in tandem.
No. Work under Jeff Gordon.
Were you listening?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Yeah.
But I also know the situation, right? So do you.
Well, and that's true.
There's no way Jeff Gordon is not getting final say on hockey moves.
Well, he didn't come to Montreal, or will arrive in Montreal tomorrow on a long-term deal, just to sit in the background. And, I clearly he will have a prominent role, and we'll see how prominent the role of his GM is. I will take Jeff Molson at his word here and say it will be done in tandem. How that works, I don't know.
No, I don't think they'll be holding hands. But okay. But let's get together, because this leads into the most prominent name on a potential list, on a list of potential GMs, is Gallo?
Well, our question of the day on Facebook and Twitter is, should the Canadians hire Patrick Waugh, and do you think people can change?
Wow. There's a two-parter for you. Should they hire him? They should certainly talk to him. I think Patrick Waugh is deserving of that. As you point out, Mitch, or certainly infer, Patrick Waugh doesn't necessarily play well with others or hasn't in the past. Would he be a good collaborator? My instincts say no. But certainly he's someone of interest and worth talking to. And beyond that, it's kind of like the airport scene in Casablanca, right? You know, round up the usual suspects.
Oh, not this could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Before
maybe
that.
Not today, maybe not tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, round up the usual suspects.
Yeah, just a hill of beans. It's like Montreal Canadiens are more than just a hill of beans, though.
that is true. So I think Matthew Darche, having played for this team and having worked for a very successful organization, would be someone of interest. Martin Madden Jr., who's been with the Ducks for a long time, is an assistant general manager there. I would certainly look at him. There are certainly other people out there that are worthy of consideration. What you want to do, I think, is get someone in pretty quickly because Dominic Ducharme needs to be evaluated through this season. You're not doing anything with your coach this season. That would not be fair to him. It would not be fair to the pocketbook of the Canadiens. You'd want to be paying two coaches. And clearly, you've got Claude Julien, who will be coaching Team Canada over in Europe this month or next month. You don't want to be paying three coaches. So a GM would come in and certainly look at that situation.
All right. I'm just being informed here because I was away that Claude Julien is actually going to be in public again. Yeah. So that's news that I missed. The Spengler Cup?
Yeah. Well, okay. If they don't go to the Olympics, he'll coach the Olympic team.
Okay. Yeah, so the next two international tournaments.
In Moscow in the Channel 1 Cup, formerly the Izvestia tournament, and then the Spengler Cup.
Okay. So we have plenty of time to speculate over who's going to occupy the GM post and other posts. I would imagine he's got, if not carte blanche, pretty close to it, to bring in some people to help him rebuild in small font the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
What about looking back one last time here on how would you wrap up the Bergevin decade here as the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens?
Well, we've spent so much time doing that. Good trade, bad trade. You can never take away that run to the final. However it occurred, it occurred, and it was magic. Pixie dust sprinkled all over that. Coming back to beat the hated Leafs, down 3-1, and yeah, there was luck with Shifley, and then Fleury did what Fleury has done for a long time, and suddenly you're in the Stanley Cup final. And yeah, you got blown out, but still. And Bergevin was the GM. So there were great moments. Certainly then. And, you know, this is why God invented Twitter, right? You know, you can argue about this stuff. But I have one disappointment out right now. I knew Mark Bergevin when he played, and he was not one of my go-to guys, someone I was delighted to see in whatever city he was playing, because he was frank and he was funny and engaging. And I like to be around people like that. When he got here, in public, not in private, but in public, he was not that person. He was, within hockey, very well liked within hockey, because he was that kind of player. Talking to Davidson, he said, whenever we'd be talking to Montreal about maybe making a deal, whether I was in Columbus or in New York, you love talking to Bergevin because it was so much fun. We didn't see that here. I don't know where this came from, because Chicago maybe, because under McDonough, John McDonough, that was a very buttoned-down organization. Maybe it had something to do with Montreal. Certainly the job is going to change you. and we understand that. But I look at two Hall of Fame general managers, Jim Rutherford and Ken Holland, and job didn't change them. They were open. They were easy to deal with. Mark Bergevin, as a front man for the Montreal Canadiens, was not what I knew to be himself. And I found that disappointing because I think people in the city would have really loved that Mark Bergevin and taken to him and would be far more disappointed in his departure.
Always a treat. Michael Farber, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I was surprised. But obviously, you know, when we had a start like we did this year, you know, things got to change and, you know, it could be him, it could be players. And obviously they thought that they needed a little change up in the organization. So, yeah.